I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, sweet baby daddies. Just a little message to say that we all hope that you're doing okay and that all of your people around you are okay and that you're all getting to stay inside during these really scary times, unless you're a key worker, in which case, oh my God, amazing, a key worker listens to this. Holy shit, great job. We love you so much. Like the other ones, forget it, do a better job. But we just want to check in and just say this was definitely recorded before the COVID big thing happening. Like, we even reference it in it. This is, we say we're 2 weeks into it then. I think this was recorded like beginning of March time. Jack is sick in this episode and he's not there. He actually doesn't have corona. He just thought his housemate might, so he was very early in the self-isolating because Jack is just a good, good boy. So we've done it with lovely Winnie this time and we really hope you enjoy the episode and it gives you a break from all the horribleness that's happening out there and it gives you a good flashback to Furbies, really. That's mainly what the chat's about, with the amazing Joe Sutherland. So please enjoy it. And also, if you wanted more content from us, like if you were like, oh my God, I love listening to Helen and Rosie, I just wish I could see them on stage, damn it, corona's ruining everything I want from them, then good news, we've got Instagram. So please follow us both on Instagram. You can follow Rosie at Josie Rones and myself at Helen Bauer, like Helen Bauer, because I like to be a bit of fun. But most importantly, we've got an Insta for Daddy Podcast, so please follow at Daddy Podcast on Instagram. We're going live on it, we're putting up singing competitions, and we'd love to see you over there. So thank you very much and enjoy the episode.
You have one new voice message. New voice messages.
Hello Rosie, it's Rosie here from the past. Feeling in a especially happy mood, so I thought I'd leave it and say you are wonderful. Remember that. Remember that I, from a week ago or a year ago, think you're doing a great job. We are doing a great job. Just be you. And also remember to buy milk. Bye.
Deleted.
Hello and welcome to Daddy Look At Me,
a podcast where myself, Helen Bauer and Rosie Jones sit down and talk to our favourite people from the world of showbiz about attention, childhood and of course, daddy.
Great to have you here. Now let's crack on with the show.
Today is the most exciting episode
I'm
of all time.
I'm so happy. Jack, our producer, is...
no
ill.
Longer with us. No.
He's ill.
He's sick. He's staying at home. Yay! We're not happy that he's ill. We're just happy he's not here. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because that means that we get winning.
We love Winnie. Winnie is Jack's assistant. She is the best person ever. She's new to the team and she's brought us nothing but joy, love and tap water.
I prefer Winnie to Jack.
Oh my God. What you can't see is Winnie dancing in the corner so happy right now.
So this is going to be the best episode ever.
I think it might be. We've got such a good guest that if it's not good, it's on us.
Yeah.
And I doubt that.
Can we blame Jack?
Oh, I blame Jack for everything on this podcast
even
so far.
It's not her.
Should we like write a jingle for the show without Jack on it?
Yeah.
Hello and welcome
to Daddy. Look at me. Our producer is winning.
Not Jack. Jack's dead.
Jack's gone.
Jack, but Jack
isn't here.
Oh, it's a doozy. To give you hints, he's wearing a red t-shirt, I'd say maroon, blue overalls, sort of like Art Attack style. Navy overalls, always be specific. And he has a tattoo on his upper arm that says, a role model. Any guesses? We can't hear you. It's Joe Sutherland.
Hello, Joe.
You know Joe, who wears the same clothes every day. He's too poor to get new ones.
Well, I wanted to describe your hair, but it's so iconic.
Oh, thanks.
That, like, you can't... It's you. Like, no one else has that cut in comedy.
Joe Hair. Welcome.
Just say it's Joe Hair. What, you want to, like, rename him Joe Hair? It's Joe Sutherland.
Oh, hi.
Hi, thank you so much for coming to see us today. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for coming to see us today.
Welcome.
I don't know why I'm being so weird with you.
How are you?
I'm okay, actually. I'm really cheered up now to be here. I was having such a rant not long ago, so this is much better.
I mean, we're aware that you're currently listening to this in April, but we're recording this, I'd say, about 2 weeks into coronavirus gate.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So...
Rosie's had an IV drip because she's too important to go down.
And she wants a celebrity to have a booster immune.
I swear Jennifer Lawrence had
Did you go to one of those swanky bars where they do it?
No, the there nurse are. Came to me.
To your house or to a job?
To a job.
How amazing is that?
Oh.
Whereas I went to go buy paracetamol just in case, and then I realised it wasn't on a deal where I went, and I thought, I'll get it later. Which I think just says a lot about how much I care if I make it or not.
Yeah. Do you know what my measures were today? I took 2 ibuprofen. Don't know what that's going to do.
Just for fun?
Yeah.
Fine.
I think it's the same as when you sort of like take a vitamin D tablet. Like, it's just sort of like, I mean, is it going to do anything? But you also feel like you're doing something good for yourself.
Yeah, they powdered sunshine and just poured it into a capsule.
But they have, mate. They really have.
I mean, the fact that they're not marketing it in that way, like it's a breakfast cereal, they are missing a trick.
Could you imagine a vitamin D breakfast cereal? Just like crush it up in a special
K. Sunshine breakfast.
Honestly, the marketing world is lost without you. Sunshine breakfast, you're right. That would make a difference. You know when you're like, oh, this comedian's amazing. They could do anything they want in any other field. And then you meet Rosie and you're like, oh, we're so lucky you found this.
This is a blessing.
And it's like, yeah, you know when like you meet, you know the comics who are like also doctors, and it's like, oh, fuck off.
Oh yeah, go home.
You can't have two things. Yeah. And then I think with all three of us, as I'm gonna say, successful failures, like realistically, if this doesn't work out, we're done.
Speaking of what we could be.
I'm sorry, we've actually got really good at segues recently, so prepare to have your life changed. Oh my God, it's happening. Winnie, are you ready for the segue? It's about to happen. Rosie?
What did you want to be when you were a little boy?
Professional broadcaster since 2019.
When I was a little boy, I wanted to be many things. I wanted to be...
Why am I nervous? Just laugh awkwardly.
Well, I was just like, oh, if I say this out loud, do I get cancelled? I wanted to be a woman.
That will not get you cancelled.
Okay. But it's fine. I've come to terms that, you know, it's all a spectrum now.
Yeah.
We can move. I also wanted to be a marine biologist.
Oh, I feel like that's a classic.
It is
a classic. Splash came out and a lot of kids panicked.
Also, there was, and this is pre-Blackfish, obviously, by some decades. Yeah. But there used to be like a really good documentary series about like the staff at SeaWorld.
No.
And I was just like, damn it, these guys clearly have the best job. Yeah. Not only are they training dolphins, but they're also like, they're all so fit.
Yeah.
And I don't think I picked up on the I think I was aware of the sexual tension that was in the show. I could sense those reverberations, but I didn't know what they were. But clearly something was attracting me to that, thinking like, God, if you work there, you bone.
Yeah.
So we've got Little Joe, he's in Coventry, he's glued to the screen, watching SeaWorld trainers being like, yeah, that's it. That's the one.
Yeah.
Did you ever get a wetsuit?
No, I did go on a holiday. I did want one, but Coventry, famously the furthest you can get from the ocean.
Oh, it is!
Well, people debate it, but it, like, there's various points that people try and claim as like, no, I think you'll find this is the driest spot.
like it's a great thing.
Yeah.
We've got the worst health in the country.
But there is a sort of monumental obelisk somewhere.
Okay, you're gonna have to explain that word.
So you know them big like spikes that people that we British people would steal from Egypt and go and put on the Thames? There's like a little mini fake one of them.
Yeah, Clearwater
in a village.
Needle.
Yeah,
of course.
So in a village just outside Coventry, which you can now these days class as part of Coventry. It has this like needle thing in it to mark what is supposedly, or 300 years ago, that is the point that people thought was the furthest from the ocean in the whole country.
Oh.
I mean, I just think it just shows how ambitious you were as a child, that you're from the driest part of the country and you were like, SeaWorld trainer feels right. Yeah. Were you even doing swim lessons?
I've got to get out of this place. I was a very good swimmer, actually.
Proud of you.
Yeah, really bad at every other physical activity, but swimming always my forte.
Did you just start lessons young?
Yeah, my dad took me young, and I had watched The Little Mermaid from approx the age of 3. And so, of course, my dad was trying to teach me, like, Joe, this is breaststroke. And I was like, no.
Doing the bum wiggle.
No, I don't use my arms. I just kick my legs and smack my nose on the floor of the pool.
No.
Every week. Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
I catch worm.
Have you tried?
I can't.
That sounded really mean.
You can walk.
I'm wondering if we could find a way to teach you to swim. Like, there might be one move.
Yeah.
Don't go into butterfly.
That's not an entry level stroke.
Yeah. No. Were you at swimming lessons? I remember in year 3.
Yeah.
And I think because I was at first disabled person at my school.
Yeah.
They were like, we got a disabled one. I don't know what to do with her. So I used to sit in the shallow end and chat to my friend.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
who was your friend?
It sounds tragic. But honestly, we're still best friends now.
Oh, no.
It was my teacher's aide.
Oh, yeah.
Judith. Nice. Shout out to Judith.
Hi, Judith.
She's not listening.
You never know. We've got a wide appeal.
And we were sitting in the shallow end and we bitch about everything. Everyone.
What, in year 3?
Yeah.
But no, like,
I... 7-year-old having comments about everyone else.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's something in this story. I'm sorry. This, I don't know if this is disability or your personality, Rose.
Oh, it's a lovely combination of the two, 100%.
I can see you doing that.
Have you seen Maureen's new costume? Oh, bloody hell.
It's very blue-orange right now.
It's like, he's got a Veruca sock on again. He had it last week. At the end of the day, if you've got a Veruca, stop coming to the pool. Joe,
hi.
I think I'm going to get into this.
Right.
Tell me.
So we're in Coventry.
Mm-hmm.
You got no wetsuit. You're very, very dry.
Constantly.
How's school? Did you go to like a local school?
Yeah, primary school. Hersel Primary School.
Hersel,
just nice. 2 minutes down the road.
Great.
It was brilliant.
Yeah.
I loved primary school. It was well good.
Did you walk there yourself?
Later, yeah. I'd walk with mum. I mean, she didn't have much on. No,
she had time to buy you a wetsuit, is what we're saying.
So I'd walk with mum until probably about year four, and then we start. And then mum got a job as a careers advisor, so then we'd get dropped off at Childminders, and then we'd walk from the Childminders school.
Yeah, yeah.
And by then I was old enough, so I'd knock on my friend Sinead's door and we'd walk together.
Sinead. So fucking cool.
With like Childminder and the younger kids sort of 10 paces behind, but it was very much, Ruth, I'm walking myself today.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think your walking to school gang is what sets you up for your day, and it has to be so carefully orchestrated because like, our school, I think like most schools for secondary school, did yours have like two entrances to it? Like we had a back and
secondary
a front
school.
Entrance.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, it was always a front entrance for us. And then all of a sudden in year nine, you wanted to come in the back entrance. It was just a thing. It spread around.
Oh, yeah.
And it sounds
filthy. About the first year of university. But, yeah.
We got there early and late. And all of a sudden you had to change your walking to school gang. And we'd walk a longer way to go through the back way.
Why?
I don't know. It's one of those things at school where you can't explain how powerfully it takes over. Like, do you remember when everyone just, like, one person got a Jane Nor bag and then everyone lost their minds for, like, a month trying to get hold of one?
Oh, God, yeah.
It's, like, that sort of phenomenon. We're like, what happened?
JD.
JD, yeah. Mm. All of those crazes where you're like, Strange. It was, like, what was your favourite phase at school? Like, which one was, like, was it, like, Pokemon or, like, stickers? Like, what was
We're
your...
We'll never answer. That's a great question.
Thank you.
I would say Furbies were a good one because, they just exploded. And I, oh my goodness, it took so long to buy one because it was a pandemic.
Oh my God, the world changed. So,
And
I will say, no one agrees with this, but it was the beginning of the end of Woolworths and I can prove that, but carry on.
Okay, we'll get there. So I bought mine, I was with my Scottish... Every summer, I'd be sent up to Scotland to stay with my Scottish grandparents for a good
few
weeks.
Sounds like you were raised in the 1800s, but
yeah,
amazing.
Basically. you know, to take in some sea air, to build up my strength, to come back to the city and the smog.
I'm going to be a marine biologist. Of course you fucking are, sweetheart. Where do you live? Coventry. No worries. Dream big.
You won't live past 12. But so every summer, I'm up in Scotland. And my grandparents had recently retired to St Andrews, quite a nice,
lovely.
Very pretty town. But it only had like one toy shop.
It's not a town, it's a golf resort, but
okay, it's got a market street. I think that makes a town.
I'd like to apologise to St Andrews.
and so that shop completely run out of Furbies.
Oh my God.
My granddad called all the shops in Dundee, which is across the Tay. None of them had them. So we went and we got a train for an hour to Edinburgh to go to like the big sort of, it's not John Lewis, but like, you know, a big sort of department store. And there were two left. And I already had in my heart the one that I knew I wanted. I wanted a black one with like a little
white. The yellow with the yellow ears.
I wanted that one. They didn't have it instead. Because I don't know. I was undecided as to whether it was Tail and Tuft or Mohican that
it's
I wanted.
It's a big decision in all fairness.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I love how nervous you're getting telling the story about maybe not getting it, even though it's fast. You're so stressed and I love it. Okay, so you arrive at Debenhams or something?
Well, it's this big one. It's next to Topshop on Prince's Street in Edinburgh.
Yes.
You'll know it. It is now technically owned by John Lewis, but it's kept its original name.
Yeah.
I want to say Hayes or something. Yeah. Or Mac, no.
Matt Dog.
So all that was left, I think, was one of the white ones, which I actually thought were tacky.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, John.
And there was a sort of mottled grey and brown one.
Okay.
That actually kind of matched my own hair. I was in a transitional phase from my childhood blonde to my now grown up sort of, I don't know, mousy brown.
You've got a lovely dark head of hair. Like, it's not mousy.
But it matched my hair at the time, and it had the Mohican tail. It was one of those real moments of like, I looked at it, it looked at me, and there was a real sense of like, well, it's just you and me, kid.
That's what people have when they go to adopt children abroad.
Yeah, the exact same thing. You travel from St. Andrews to Edinburgh and you met the Furby that was going to change your life. Yeah. People are going to Africa for that. Yeah. Waste of time.
I feel like everyone has a Furby, darling.
I think if you're aged between 25 and 35 from the UK, you've had a moment. Not quite like Joe's. That was a bit much, maybe.
Oh, mine is tragic.
Oh my God, let's just do it.
I told you. We went for a Mexican, my friend, and we all had tragic Furby moments.
I mean, you know mine one as well. Let's just tell them to Joe.
Yeah. Okay. So, mine is I really wanted a Furby, and it was near Christmas. So, my nana said to my dad, don't worry. I'll sort it out. And to put it in context, my nana is Spanish. She's been here 60 years, but she's a moron. She went into Woolworths. So how much a Furby was?
Oh God, they were nearly £40.
Yeah, and thought.
Started recommended retail price of $24.99 originally. Anyway, I'm really into Furbies.
Well, she thought $24.99. How much do I love my granddaughter? Not that much. So she used the little brain and she went to Manchester Market and didn't get me a Furby. No. She got me a Furby.
We're laughing now, but we're all really sounding down.
So, my birdie had one eye that popped out, and it's...
Is that one of its features written on the box? Like,
it's
popping eye.
It's... It had a weird eye, and it's spoke Hindi.
That's so good. Ferdy, short for Ferdinand? Or...
Maybe, but I got it on Christmas Day and I cried.
But she was
like, I don't know what I do wrong. It's a Ferdy. It's a Ferdy. No.
She fucking knew what she'd done wrong.
Yeah.
She knew. She knew.
Oh, I hate when grandparents do that because they're looking through their sort of like blur, their sort of visor of like life and experience, which is like, but if I can't tell the difference, then the kid were. And you're like,
fucking stop it up. Come on, Margaret.
My English grandma would do that a lot. My God. I've never got a proper on-brand Tamagotchi.
Me neither. Tamagotchi.
So many of those £1 ones.
No.
I actually got given one for Christmas last year, and I once again got completely sucked into it and was devastated when it died. I can't have things like
that. Did it die?
It did. It died day after Boxing Day.
Of.
Well, it was covered in its own shit. I assume lack of hygiene, but it was well fed. My Tamagotchi gained so much weight.
Tell your tragic Furby.
There's literally, there's just so many parts to it. I'm just going to rattle through it. Okay. I really wanted one. Once again, like, it was like, my birthday's in March, Christmas is December, so I had to get it pretty, like, I missed it in March, so I had to get it for Christmas. There wasn't any, I was never going to get it in between, but I asked for it. My mum was like, right, if that's what you want. And I was very, like, if I wanted something, I didn't stop wanting it. So she knew that she could, like, get it and I wouldn't change my mind. So she bought one. I knew it was in the house because I was that kid that went through my parents' stuff. I went through all their cupboards. I knew where they kept the Christmas gifts. I went through it. I still, my mum has 5 original Spice Girls Barbie dolls in their original packing. She's going to sell them one day. And I'm like, you should have just given them to me.
No. Can I? Okay. That's a separate topic. Can we put a pin in it? Come back to those
girls. Yeah, of course. Great. So I got my Furby on Christmas Day. Over the moon. Life-changing. Loved it more than anyone could love it. Like, I pierced its ears. Like, I accessorized it everywhere I could. Painted its eyelids with nail polish. Like, I made it mine. I was one of those kids. I would ruin something to make it more me. And pierced his fucking ears at 2 days old. You can tell what sort of mum I'm going to be. And then my brother was sick of it and sick of the noise. And we were at that age where you just really fuck with each other. And he dipped my Furby in water and put it in the freezer and then asked me to get an ice cream a couple of hours later. Oh. And I... I opened the freezer and it went Katovu me like and died in my arm.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Where's your Ferdy now? In some pub in Bridlington, probably. Yeah. What's happened to your one?
Oh, I couldn't say. It's it would have been one of those toys that then went to my brother Sean, and he wasn't the most respectful.
Oh, would he have ruined it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. In what way? Just sort of like playing with it in a way that you're like, that's not how you play with this.
Just sort of like, look, it can fly down the stairs. Yeah.
No, how old he? Older.
He's younger. He's 6 years younger.
I mean, in all fairness, 6 years younger is what you're going to see them get your stuff and be like, that's not how we play. That's not right. Is he your only sibling?
So he's one that I have with my mum, and then I've got two with my dad.
Big family. Yeah. All boys?
All boys.
Oh, and you're the leader of the pack.
I'm the leader of the
men. Yeah, they quick.
If there's 6 years between you and your next brother, were you really excited to get a sibling?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, it was the best day of my life.
No, I love this. I think when there's a gap, it is.
Yeah. And because like our house was tiny, so I was like, he's going to sleep in my room, isn't he?
Yeah.
I get to have him in my room.
He's my baby. That was Rosie's vibe.
My mum, when she was pregnant, she'd say, who am I having this baby for, Rosie? And I go, me. Me. My baby. Best day of your life when your brother was born. Talk us through it.
So I think I'd already been briefed on what a plan would be when it would happen. So I knew I would get a day off school.
Great.
So I was super excited for that to come along. Yeah. And it was, but I was at first worried because it was in the evening. Mm. And so it's like 6 p.m. And it was like, oh, Joe, for a treat, do you want to go to Ruth's house, Ruth the childminder?
And did you?
And stay overnight there.
Oh.
And so my brother's dad walked me up to Ruth's and was saying like, well, in the morning when you come back, you're going to have a brother. Yeah. And so I was super excited. So then I just spend the night at Ruth's, like bouncing off the walls.
Yeah.
And then come back first thing next morning. And he's on the bed and he's like, he, oh, also, I mean, it was a shock that he was born. It was like nearly 5 weeks early. like, you know, he had the cord around his neck and all the horrible stuff. And he was tiny. But it was then fine. Well, it was generally fine. But he was little. And in that way where it's like, Joe, come and meet. But, oh, don't touch too
Be
much.
Be careful, he's a precious. Yeah. And you're like, but he's mine. He's going in my room tonight.
I'm just going to wait till you leave the room and then I'll pick him up by his fingers.
Like all the best big brothers do.
Like,
I love you now, but you're going to get my Furby in 6 years' time. And I'm going to be fucking livid about it.
And so, but then of course you're a bit like, oh, he doesn't do much. Can I watch a video? And so spent that day sort of, I would watch a film and then that film would finish and then I'd go back and sort of poke him a bit, have like a sorsani.
A what?
A ketchup sandwich.
Okay, right, yeah, a sorsani. Yeah. Right, okay, I get it now.
Which, what a fun food. Like, you don't really do that for yourself as an adult.
No.
But I think it's, I realised that for us, it wasn't, it was a way of like, how do we make poverty fun?
I think it's an exciting thing. You get a younger sibling and it's so exciting, but then you slowly realise that all the attention has been on you and then it's like you're competing for the first time. Did you become aware of that instantly or did it take you a couple of years to be like, wait a second, guys, I'm still number one, right?
Well, I think the first year, there was definitely a sense of like, so I'm just going to put on a show.
Well, like in the living room. Yes, I love these kids. You've got a go-get-em attitude.
Oh, yeah, man.
I mean, just talk us through what your normal show would have been. Like, what age were you and like, how would it have run?
Actually, maybe pre-Sean or maybe first year, because I guess I was still six. But I definitely remember early ones being a deflated rubber ring as a tutu. I think this was pre-Sean. I think ballet, thinking I could do ballet was pre-Sean coming along. So it would be, there was like, for some reason there was a, you know, a sort of weird chipped away keyhole in the door between the front room and the back room. And I'd be like, you've got to sit in the living room now. Okay, sit down. I'd put her in a chair and then I'd be like, right, wait there. And then I'd go through to the back room, close the door and shout through the little keyhole, get ready for the show. This is how I introduce my current shows.
My heart is honestly melting. It's like,
get ready for the ballet show. And with no rehearsal, skill or talent, I'd burst through and just sort of jump on the sofa and go, look. And I wouldn't stop until I got applauded.
And was there a song or a dance, or was it more just sort of posing?
It was posing.
Okay.
Very much posing, in the same way that I would at school gymnastics, because I'd seen like good gymnastics on the telly. I'd seen like Olympics. And so when it came to school gymnastics, when you like, you know, when you get the bench out and then it gets advanced and you hook half of the bench up onto the apparatus.
Oh, yes!
And so it's at an angle. And or it's like on top of another bench.
Yeah.
And so I was like,
oh yeah, turn the bench upside down and
to balance.
The bar.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. So with that, I'm thinking, well, I've seen Olympic gymnastics. Yeah. I know what it takes. And of course, in Olympic gymnastics, they will be on the bar or something and they'll do a flip. But then to show that they've finished the flip, they do like a little sort of hand move or a sort of signal that's very much like to frame each bit. Obviously, I didn't know how to do the flips, so I just did the hand moves in between.
Yes.
I mean, I think it's important for all young people to learn how to pose.
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe you just practiced a bit earlier than you'd expect. Like, when it came to like school photos and class photos, were you like, watch me, the rest of the class?
No, actually.
This is
really?
When
you
felt.
Very uncomfortable in photographic settings.
Mm, and why do you think that was?
Honestly, I think it's because my dad's an awful photographer.
Okay.
just not
the photograph boy. When you got to secondary school, did you still enjoy it like you enjoyed primary school?
No, horrible.
Is that when it all fell off?
Oh yeah.
What changed?
I went from my primary school to a secondary school in a, because we'd moved.
Yeah.
And the catchment area I was in for school, it was like, well, you can have the shit one or the awful one. Those were my choices, yeah.
So what'd you go for?
I would say I went for awful.
Okay, why not go in? Yeah.
Well, because it was one of the... It was like your typical inner city school that, you know, the BBC would, like, write a rousing drama about.
Jamie Oliver would come visit you. Yeah.
Yeah, that sort of thing. So, like, there were, you know, there were teachers there who were very dedicated to, like, turning it around.
Yeah.
But, you know, God, they took their time. And I hear now it does very well.
Great.
But
too late.
And by this point, was the marine biologist dream going?
Oh, that was gone.
Were you too focused on becoming a gymnast? Like,
no, actually, because that school was so horrible, well, my dad, very sweetly, he would, was he still working as a teacher in like a sixth form? So he would do like extra work, sort of marking and stuff like that.
My mum did that in the summer holidays,
So he would do that so that he could pay for me to go to like a part-time theatre school. On top of regular school.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I love it when we hit a jackpot without any effort. Talk us through your theatre school. How amateur? How many years were you there? Did you put on your own production? Did you do exams or did you do festivals?
Everything.
Oh God.
It's our favourite subject.
I was probably there 10 years.
Yes! Oh my God, I love a lifer.
Yeah.
Because I started during primary school because it was one of those where it had like a sliding scale of engagement.
Yeah.
You could just do your Saturday 1 hour session, you know, somewhere to send the kids.
Yeah.
But it also had semi-professional companies and productions and other like training schemes. So you could do circus training.
No.
You could do voice training. You could do pre-drama, like if you were 16 and above. No. They lowered it for the year that I joined. They had this extra, so when I was 14, they lowered the age of entry to this one that was called the Young Professionals. Which was to train you for drama school. So it was in like audition
technique. Oh, to go to RADA?
Yeah.
From 14?
Yeah, man.
Give them a plug because there's nothing better than a young girl.
Oh, no, because then after this, I'm also going to...
Slag them off?
Great.
How dare you? So you're 14, you get in the Young Professionals.
Yeah.
What are you learning? Like, what's the class like?
Speeches, like how to deliver a speech, how to learn a speech. Mm-hmm. And also, basically, if you had any sort of regional accent, you got that beaten out of you.
No.
It's taken me a good 10 years to get it back. And even now, I go home and it's like, oh God, aren't you posh?
Yeah.
This doesn't sound great.
There was only me and one. There was one girl with a really thick Brummy accent.
Yeah.
And then there was me with a sort of weird mashup of like Coventry and Leicester.
Yeah.
With then occasional Glasgow.
Yeah.
Flexes.
Yeah.
And then every now and again you speak Furby. And they're like, I don't know what's happening.
And so they made sure that it was like absolutely steamed out from the off.
Oh my God. Mm. And then at the end of each term, would you put on like a production for parents to come see?
Yes, but also, so alongside this, there was also, because they made money from putting on programs of plays that did not make its way into the pockets of the kids. I know, I can look back at it and I realise like how flawed. But what I will also say was like, for a kid not enjoying school, having an awful time there, that was my saving grace. That was my safe place.
I think this is why we like drama classes so much.
It was also, I learned a lot about how to work hard. Because 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mental.
Oh my, every day.
Pretty much, well, because I would, and because... What? Because my dad knew how awful school was for me, he would say yes. I would be like, I want to join the Young Professionals. I also want to audition for the semi-professional shows. I also want to audition for the touring shows. Yeah. I also want to volunteer as front of house for the shows that I'm not in.
Oh, my heart. I would have loved you so much.
So I would end
up
going, like 7 days a week.
But then if you loved it, why not?
Exactly. So this is it. So I think, so my dad was like all in, like, this is the thing that's getting you through. Let's just give it to you as much as possible.
Yeah.
My mum hated it.
No.
Well, because there weren't any working class kids in there.
Yeah.
So like, and so in my school, I was the posh kid. In the theatre school, I was the common kid.
Yeah.
And so I think my mum was a bit like, why can't you go to one that's like in Coventry? It was like, Mum, the ones in Coventry.
They don't have a young professionals department.
They don't have a young professionals department. Also, it was like the drama groups in Coventry, it was where you went to do like jazz, tap and modern. It was very much
are still great art forms.
They are great art forms in and of themselves, but you weren't learning Chekhov.
No, you did not do Chekhov as a child.
Oh my God, yes.
Oh,
this is right. So we all sitting there like 15-year-olds and being like, when a gun gets introduced to a scene, it has to be fired by the end of the...
Yeah.
Oh my God.
We learned all of this deep cut, these rules. Oh my God, we thought we were so... cutting edge. And like we because then they would also do like a training scheme for the kids who were sort of 16 to 18 who were maybe doing like drama A levels. They would do a training scheme to help if they wanted to go into directing. So there would be these extra productions put on in the studio space. And I remember this girl putting on at the time, and it probably was, I don't want to diss this.
Bleep.
If you're out there. But she put on a production of Animal Farm. I was one of the main pigs. And we had this really, like, it was like this Che Guevara-inspired face paint. And, like, the stripes would be in different places on your face to indicate what animal you were. No. If you were a horse, it was a single red stripe down the nose. No. If you were... if you were a pig, it was sort of two like semicircular stripes.
Yeah.
I love confident teenagers so much. Yeah.
We all wore black.
Please tell me you all took it really seriously.
Oh yeah.
Like they're not even off book yet and it's a week away from
Oh my God, can I just talk about how Bib, who is now a very successful theatre practitioner, but Bib was not off book on even the second performance.
Are you fucking kidding me?
They were not talented at learning the lines. It wasn't their forte. So now I think that's why they create their own works rather than learn other people's texts.
I mean, I'm not talented at learning lines, but you put the effort in, you step it up. Yeah. It's Animal Farm, you're changing lives. Yeah. It's not just about the performance. It's
Communism
about
hasn't come to mid Warwickshire yet. We are at the vanguard. Hey, let me talk about a little thing called the system.
I love how we always talk about these things and we always make out that it's like, oh yeah, and this director made me do this and my teacher made me do this. But the thing is, we all went through the same schooling system, GCSE and A-level drama. You are just creating your own works. Do you remember being given a stimulus at one point and running with it, like at school?
Well, I didn't do, because then I changed schools like halfway through and didn't do drama there. But in my first like inner city school, that was, oh God, this is arrogant. But, but I think I did sort of take it upon myself in some way to be like, I could really...
make a difference?
I could really inspire my classmates.
You know when you're like, I think I just invented theatre and education, like TAE, that's the thing, and you're like, no, this is a different level. Wait, how old were you before you moved to like 13? You were using
drama. Moved for GCSEs to another school.
So you were like, what, 13, and you decided to use drama to inspire your class?
Yes.
Do you remember what you did?
Well, you know, it's in drama class where you've got to like go and devise scenes. You're not being given a script or anything.
Yeah, it's a stimulus, death, and you're like, we're 12, let's 100% do this.
Exactly. So I would just always take it on myself to be the kind of director.
Oh yeah.
Writer. I mean, producer.
Oh yeah.
Costumier,
Yeah. Not always a lead, I'll say that. I would step back to supporting role.
To inspire the person who's taking the lead. And then you realise I should have done that myself.
Yeah, and then 3 months later they'd kick me in the stomach in the playground and I'd be like, well, some of us are going places.
Do you remember what your stimulus was though? I do want to hear it.
I mean,
It's just gone, isn't
drugs
it?
Was definitely one.
Yeah. Oh, you've got to do drugs when you're 30.
Believe no, actually, me, that yeah. was the message of the piece was don't.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, we love
really? Why do you believe me?
Oh, oh, oh. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I remember you mentioning this yeah. before. It wasn't it just all of you in a row what? Going,
we all turned our backs to the audience and mind vomited.
Honestly, moving work.
To the song Beautiful Girls
by Sean Kingston. Oh, it's like the song of summer 2007.
You're way too beautiful, girl. That's why it don't ever work.
Suicidal.
Oh my God, there are so many layers to this piece. Holy shit.
Oh God.
Okay, amazing.
I want to... We open the Spice Girls.
Yeah, I mentioned the Spice Girls earlier, and then you seem to have something to say about Spice Girls dolls.
Well, so I want to know about these dolls. She still owns them. Are they from the same series?
Yep, they're all matching. They're in white boxes. It's when Spice World Spice came out.
Uh-huh.
So it's got Spice written at the side because I had... Okay, so wait, I've never told you this,
dolls?
But I think you're going to be really jealous of me when I was younger in a minute. So my mum taught Naoko Mori, who is obviously the best friend in the Spice World
Nicola.
Movie. Yeah. She, no. The weekend after Spice World, the movie came out and everyone had gone to see it in the cinema, she came to pick me up from school.
No.
And she stayed in my bedroom and she gave me a wooden pig.
No.
And I was kind of in the gang. I'm so sorry. Oh I God. Feel like I made it.
You're the seventh Spice Girl.
No. I'm the seventh Spice Girl. I never met them. But my mum taught her for a very brief bit.
Wasn't she in something?
She's
Torchwood.
Also been in Torchwood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was recently on the West End in Madame Butterfly.
Yeah.
She was in Miss Saigon, the like
fashion oh,
one. Yeah. She's done loads, yeah. But I mean she's the best friend from the Spice Girls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like realistically.
That's amazing. Did you have a VHS in a tick?
Yes.
Who did you have?
Mine was the scary Spice one, which I also, because at that time my mum was going out with Steve, who's wonderful, and mm-hmm. he is and was a tour manager, and so he worked with bands from Universal, so he would just get loads of Spice Girls merch for free, and so I had you know, the barrels of Chubba Chubs
yeah.
lollies,
yes.
and so that I had one of them. It lasted me a year,
which was the brand with Emma Bunton on the tour bus, that she would sit there on a swing and she'd have a Chubba Chub. It was a good thing. Yeah,
it took me 20 years to realise that was looped in there.
Oh,
but every time she had one in the film, I'd take one out the barrel.
No. It works, it fucking works.
I watch that film at least once a week.
Do you actually know?
No, then
okay. I feel like embarrassed now that I showed off I had a wooden pig because you had a whole pan of Chubba Chubs. But I had a lot of Spice Girls stuff, but I was, so my family are half Malaysian, so we'd be there in the summer holidays. And so I had a lot of Spice Girls merch that was off brand. So it just peeled off. Like, you know, lunch boxes where they've just stuck a sticker on it and it's official merch.
Again,
it's
that's what
merch.
My grandma Mary was getting from Loughborough Market.
Yeah.
Yeah, those sorts of knockoffs. Yeah.
Fucking grandparents. Joe, you've been such a delight.
God, we have. We could go deeper. But I don't have the time.
Wow. I think it's time for us to go over to our little daddy.
Daddy! Oh my God.
Don't look like that.
Call me daddy.
Daddy.
Say hello, Daddy.
Hello, Daddy.
Oh,
say, where are we going on our trip, Daddy?
Where are we going on our trip, Daddy?
Well, oh, you can tell he trained. That's the unprofessional theatre, that is.
Very good. I'm excited about our day First of all, we're gonna go shopping. And wait, Helen, you're always
this season, now. I've always been invited on the day trips, and it's been life-changing for me. Sometimes I get sent home early, though.
Behave.
I'll be good.
If you be good, I think you'll really enjoy today.
Imagine fictional me pulling my dress down, because I've been holding up showing my knickers so far.
So, we are going shopping and we are going to buy three watches.
Oh my God. Yes, please.
And we are going to a fictional sea world where all the animals are well looked after and happy.
Yes.
And we're gonna swim with a fish.
I really want to swim with big rays. Is that okay? Yeah. Like, you know, like Mr. A in Finding Nemo, and I want him to teach me about science.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then next world we can chat to the fish.
Directly?
Yeah. We'll just have a lovely time and then we'll come out the water. If you want to, you can have sex with a marine biologist.
Oh, great.
We'll let you do that.
Can I what?
Yeah, you're making it sound like it's at the edge of the tank.
Just me pressed up against the glass. Fucking do it, he's doing his dolphin moves.
And then we're gonna all dry off and we're gonna go buy some Chupa Chups and I'll watch Spice.
Oh my God, this is like my favourite day.
I think that's my favourite day.
I'm so excited to watch Joe make out an attack.
Are you happy?
I'm so happy.
So thank you, Daddy, for my day.
Say it, say thank you.
Do you have to have your boot on my neck? Could you take that off?
No,
it's a good look.
Thank you, Daddy, for my day.
Thank you to Helen as well, maybe.
Thank you to Helen as well.
Thank you very much, Joey.
Thanks.
Thank you, Winnie. You've been amazing.
Thank you.
I feel so wonderfully produced.
Oh, my.
In what way?
Oh, just
thanks,
so
guys.
Oh, Winnie, our new producer. Jack is over. His reign of terror is done.
Jack is cancelled.
Jack is cancelled.
Cancelled.
Yay. Bye. Remember that music video with all of them running to like hug their mums in the audience? Life changing.
You have one new voice message. New voice messages.
Catherine Bohart and Sarah Keyworth. This is the most stressful thing of all time. When you've got to call two people, but you know you can only call one number at a time, you've got to pick which one is the most likely to answer. So I've gone for Catherine, which I feel is correct. It's like, right, have you ever been friends with like twins at school? And then you're like, okay, I need to call one of them, but if I call the house, I've got to ask for one of them individually, even though I know you can just say, can I speak to either this one or this one? It's just, it's too much for me to handle. Catherine, please, can you organise your schedule and Sarah's to come and do a podcast with us? That's what I wanted to say. Okay, love you loads. Bye.
Deleted.